This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say, but if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free for All Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free for All Friday. And we talk about whatever you want to talk about. But I have a few things to say. And frankly, I'm getting kind of tired of hearing about these encampments, but I do have a few things to say about them. So first of all, University of Toronto, if you actually want to clear them, why are you giving ultimatums that you have no intention of honoring? That just emboldens people. And even worse, why are you allowing masked protesters to screen people who are coming into the campus? It's a public place. They only want their allies there. Who do you think they're leaving out? So that's for the university. For the protesters, now some of them are just bloodthirsty and they're outside agitators, but a lot of them, I'm assuming, are naive kids who think they're doing the right things, but without the critical thinking that they are supposed to be learning at university, they are parroting terrorist slogans. They're parroting slogans that call for the eradication of Israel. They talk about Intifada. The tactics of the Intifada was blowing up teenagers in discotheques and fast food restaurants. If there was any empathy there, they could imagine themselves being that target. And a final thing, you know, when I was their age, I was also very interested in justice in the Middle East. And what I did was I studied. I studied the history, at least going back to the Ottoman Empire in the 16th century. I studied the languages. Shout out to native speakers of Arabic, because if you're trying to study it, it is just so hard. So these kids are just picking up on propaganda messages without looking into it on their own. And that does not bode well for their future on anything. You have to use your head and do a little work. One of the reasons I'm thinking of university is that my university roommate, who I love, is in town from overseas. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, we have some new information on that horrible, deadly wrong-way crash on the 401. So we have heard that the high-speed chase was actually called off before the crash, but the officers involved continued. And we also heard that there was a second person in the van driven by the suspect, or driven by the 21-year-old who was killed. There was another male in there in his late 30s. We also heard that the City of Toronto has got a commitment from the federal government for those FIFA games. Toronto's still on the hook for over $200 million. And I would like to hear from you. Are you participating in the Loblaw boycott? And Galen Weston has weighed in, saying that all of this anti-Loblaw stuff is unfair. Do you think he was smart to do that? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-744-740. And let's begin with Carol in Bob Cajun. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Libby. How are you today?
I'm fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I'd like to talk about this breathalyzer test that the OPP are going to be doing.
Uh-huh. Let's just remind people who may not be up to speed on it. So the OPP has said that if you are stopped for any reason, they will ask you to take a breathalyzer test, and legally you have to comply. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And if you do not, then you are charged.
Correct.
Yes. So I was stopped last year in June, asked to do a breathalyzer, and I could not complete one. I tried 10 times. I have COPD.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I'm 66 years old. The whole ordeal ended up costing me $16,000. And the end result was that the charge was dismissed, and I agreed to pay a $1,000 donation to a charity of my choice.
Wow.
I could have gone to court in front of a judge, but that would cost me another $500 for every day with the lawyer. And it may not be seen in court that day. It may not be seen for a week. And each additional day would be another $500.
And, I mean, I'm sorry to hear that. That sounds terrible. I'm wondering, is the OPP aware that people with COPD would have trouble taking a breathalyzer? I haven't heard of that before. I'm wondering if they have, because that's, frankly, outrageous.
Well, I literally tried 10 times. I don't know how anyone can do it. You have to breathe for so long and so hard.
You know what? I have an idea. And we periodically talk to people from the COPD advocacy group. So maybe they are the right people to get in touch about this. Thank you very much for bringing it up. And sorry you had to go through that.
Well, and I spoke with the lawyer. You absolutely should not ever refuse to do one. But when you can't complete it, you are charged with failure to comply, which is the same as doing the breathalyzer and failing it.
Wow. Okay.
And
well,
so I had a criminal charge, automatic 3-month suspension on my license. I drive for a living. And the company vehicle was impounded for a week.
My God.
After the end of 3 months, it cost me over $800 to get my license back. There was a $552 administration fee, and then there were other fees added on top of that.
Carol, I think you're bringing up a very good point. Thank you for your call, and I think that should be looked into for sure. I think most people had no idea about that, and the OPP certainly should be aware. That doesn't sound like it's the right way to proceed for people with COPD. Let's take a call from Ron in Guelph. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Libby. Thanks for taking my call. I just heard that lady's comments. I wonder if there's an exemption for people who can't blow efficiently into a breathalyzer enough.
We're looking into that. You wanted to talk about the wrong way crash?
No, I want to. Unfortunately, I was at the my cardiologist this morning, so I didn't hear Sergeant Kerry Schmidt's conversation with Sam and Jane, but I would like to comment. I read that story, and the other day I wrote a reply to somebody who was rights were being infringed, and I wrote into the newspaper, and the comments, I got all this negative feedback about my rights. Libby, what about your rights, Z's rights, my rights to drive on our roads safely? All right. Whose rights are more important? All right. I'm tired of hearing about people whose rights are being, infringed by the police asking them to. If you're not worried, I don't mind getting a blowing into a breathalyzer. I don't drink and drive.
Okay. Thanks for that, Ron. Let me give the numbers out again. And as I said, we have more information on that horrible, horrible, deadly crash. We now know that the people who were killed were grandparents visiting from India. Their 3-month-old grandson that they were visiting to meet was killed. The parents of the child were in the car at the time. They're both in the hospital. The mother is very seriously injured. My heart goes out to them. It's horrible. But we now know, or we have now been told, it's been reported that that chase going the wrong way on the 401, we heard dispatcher comments saying, someone's going to get hurt. I think that would be obvious. We've now heard that the chase was in fact called off, but it persisted. And we also heard that there was a second person in the suspect van. We know that the 21-year-old driver was killed. We're not even sure if he was the one that was involved in the robbery. So a lot to dig into that. The investigation has started, but what would it be that a chase, which is not supposed to happen if it's dangerous, is called off and the officers continue? We don't know the timelines on that, but it sounds awful. Let us take a call from Tony in Brampton. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. I think the federal and the provincial governments and the car companies that are pushing these EVs are making a terrible mistake. They should be concentrating on hybrids instead, because not everybody has access to electrical plug-ins. Canada's a big country, and we have no resources to build a structure.
Well, the whole thing is quite controversial, because there are a lot of people who say this is just corporate welfare, giving billions of dollars to these big companies who may or may not fulfill the terms. We've seen before car companies not doing what they promised to do in exchange for all that money. There's a lot of competition to get these EV factories. And in the meantime, we see that there's been a drop off in the sales. So it's a very controversial thing, Tony.
Okay. That's all I have to say, Libby. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I am going to give the numbers out again. And I want to talk about some things that came up earlier in the week. So first of all, we have this boycott of Loblaw that's supposed to last the entire month of May. There are over 60,000 signatures in the subreddit group Loblaw is out of control. We even heard a parody, an opera parody of Les Mis called Les Mis or Loblaw's. Voices were really good on that. So I wonder, are you boycotting Loblaw? And the interesting thing is they send me their whatever on email. And I noticed that this week, some of the prices actually looked pretty good. We also had Galen Weston. So he is the target often of Loblaw hate, because he's the pitchman, and he said, gee, all the focus on Loblaw really isn't fair, and really they're okay. What I have found, and I said I shop mostly in three different places, they're all expensive, but for certain things, Loblaw has become the most expensive and more expensive than Whole Foods, which is known for being expensive, and which is owned by Amazon. Wow. Amazon. Anyway, so what do you think of the Loblaw boycott? Are you participating in it? And a surprise yesterday, and that was we talked about mortgages and co-signing a mortgage with your kids, because otherwise they wouldn't qualify. And really, that set the phone lines on fire. And if you couldn't get through, please call. And I'd like to know your opinion. Have you done that? Are you thinking of doing that? And what do you think the ground rules should be? I guess the question is, if you co-sign, you're responsible for those payments. But sometimes the deal is that your kids will actually pay and sometimes not. So tell me about that, and tell me if you're otherwise helping your kids and how it is affecting your own finances. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740, and we will be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. As always, there is, boy, a lot to talk about. And there was actually some good news this morning. And the federal government has made a commitment to kick in money for FIFA and those soccer games that the current mayor, Olivia Chow, says she would never have agreed to under the terms of those deals, which are not very favorable to the city. So the federal government, Ottawa, is kicking in $104.34 million. We have $97 million from the province, and Toronto taxpayers still on the hook for more than $200. And this, even as yesterday on our municipal panel, Paula Fletcher pointed out, Toronto doesn't get any of the good tax money that is coming from this. And Toronto officials keep saying, oh, we'll get sponsorship. So we will see. We also have some more information on that horrible crash. We have the Loblaw boycott. And here's something we haven't discussed yet on Free for All Friday. And that is the BC government asking the federal government to recriminalize drug use because of big public safety issues. And on Wednesday, when I talked about it with our medical panel, you know, one of the doctors, well, at least two of them have had experience of treating people with addiction issues, homelessness issues, mental health issues. Well, Dr. Fahad Razak, he works at St. Mike's, and he has a lot of compassion and sees this as an illness, not a crime. But he also, he's a big guy, and he says he feels unsafe sometimes leaving the hospital at night because of the public safety issue, because of the behavior of some of these individuals around around the hospital. And I can tell you, we see some of those, or a lot of those problems here. Frankly, we're across the street from a shelter, and there are encampments on and off in the summertime. So I am going to go right to the phones. We'll begin with Bill in Hamilton. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Libby. My point I wanted to make was about the coverage by the media of these protesters and encampments. And my biggest complaint is I completely understand that they have to cover it. It's a news thing that's happening, as we know, almost on a daily basis. My problem is I do not understand why there is not a policy in place to the reporters that they do not do on-camera interviews with anyone wearing a mask. This, to me, is as bad as people who write letters to the editor or send in complaints to their MPs or anybody, but don't have the, you know, the honesty to put their real name there. And I just don't understand why they're doing this. I watched it again last night on our local Toronto CTV report. The reporter was Janice Oliver, a very good reporter, but she did an interview with somebody at the, outside that camp that is being set up, and there was a person she interviewed with her face covered.
Okay, let me first of all, don't refer to the media. It's Bell Media. I mean, we certainly don't cover things that way. And I have some of the same questions. So, first of all, some of the coverage I saw was basically appalling because it had these protesters parroting basic propaganda terms without any kind of balance or challenge or context. And number two, no one has even asked these protesters who say they're peaceful, why are you covering your face? Because I don't think with most of them, it's a religious issue. They look to be white kids and they're covering their faces. And for the women, the way in which they're covering their faces suggests that it's not a religious thing. So nobody's even asked, why are you covering your face if what you're doing is just and peaceful? And so I agree with you. I think that that is just ridiculous.
Yes, I'm not sure who's responsible, who, if there's somebody there that editorially or the program director.
There should be.
They shouldn't do it.
I agree with you. They shouldn't do it, and they should be using a little more editorial judgment. But I don't speak for them. We are here at Zoomer Media, and we do things our own way, and that is definitely not the way. Robin in Burlington, hello. You want to talk about that terrible crash?
Yes, I do. I've been trying to wrap my head around the logic, for lack of a better word, for Durham police to be chasing a vehicle on the 401 the wrong way. First of all, the off-duty police officer who was at the liquor store had the description of the vehicle. He also had the license plate number. I'm sure the LCBO had cameras and they could identify these people. So, in other words, the chase was not necessary. They could have found these people some other way without innocent people dying.
Absolutely. There is more information coming out on that, and the information is, first of all, we heard audio from the dispatcher saying that someone is going to get hurt.
Right.
Then I just saw a report saying that the chase was in fact called off, and the rules say you're not supposed to indulge in a chase if there's any chance that people will get hurt, innocent people will get hurt. And I mean, it just boggles the mind that chase. I don't know the timeline between when the chase was called off and when this terrible crash happened, but there were lots of officers in pursuit. I mean, it is completely incomprehensible and just a horrible waste of life.
Oh, absolutely. And there was, as I say, there definitely was no necessity for a chase. It was not required at all. Once that vehicle decided, well, maybe if they hadn't been getting chased throughout wherever, Bowmanville or wherever they were, they would have gone on the 401 the proper way, and they could have been identified through the cameras and the license plate and so on and the vehicle.
Okay, Robin, thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Mike in Guelph. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I would like to talk about the breathalyzer thing. Many years ago, in a little village called Owen Sound, I was driving home one night, late at night after midnight, and I got to the corner where I had to turn just before my home, and the police directed me into a gas station parking lot where the Ministry of Transportation was doing a survey about drunk driving. And they asked if I'd participate. It was a total willing thing. I was willing to participate. And so they asked me a bunch of questions. And then they said, well, would you be willing to take a breathalyzer test? So I took one. And they showed me my reading. There was some numbers came up, which meant nothing to me. Now, I don't drink, and I still don't drink, and I didn't drink back then. And they said, have a good night, and I drove off. And later on, it occurred to me, why would there be any numbers anyway for the breathalyzer? So I just wanted to point out, they're not very accurate.
Well, I think I don't know about your experience. I think they actually are pretty accurate, and they're probably improved now. Thanks for your call. Let us go to Bill in Uxbridge. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Libby. Or is it Libby?
Yes, it's Libby.
Okay, hi. Anyway, I've been living in Uxbridge, which is Durham region, for 30 years. And over the years, the Durham police do have a reputation of independent actions here and there. There was that father and baby that were shot out in Clarington a few years ago, and others. They're not as well controlled as, I think, the Metro Police. And that's my comment.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's not good. That's not good. There is an investigation. I would imagine it is going to take quite a while until we get to the bottom of this. Let's go to Bill in Toronto. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Libby. You know, I want to cut the police some slack on that chase thing. If you're driving the wrong way on the 401, the odds are pretty significant that you're going to have an accident. So, you know, like, let's relax a little bit. They were trying to do their job, and it was just a bad situation. It could happen anyway. The other thing, can I talk about the capital gain?
The capital gain is not imminent, but sure, go ahead, quickly.
Yeah. So the bottom line is this capital gains thing is a 35% tax increase. Okay? That's going to affect the sale of my cottage, my investments that go to my kids. This budget was supposed to help the youth, you know, empower them to be able to get houses and that. And what are they doing? They're hurting people. They're hurting the youth of the parents that have built this country. And go after Loblaws for their high prices. Look at the city of Toronto, 35% increase in capital gain. City of Toronto, 7% tax increase, a 10% tax increase. You know, forget about Loblaws. We need to focus on what's really going on here.
Okay, Bill, but you know what? They're not implementing that tax increase, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's an election before that gets anywhere near becoming fact. Thanks for your call. Okay, we continue with Free for All Friday. The numbers 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's hear from Bob in Cannington. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Libby. How are you today?
Fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
The one thing I want to discuss is the protests in support of Gaza. And I think it's perhaps stems back to when Israel was first attacked and how our federal government handled the attack and their soft approach to it and did not set an example of what our country should stand for. And to me and a lot of people that I talk with, protests in support of Hamas are basically supporting terrorism. I just don't see how we can agree with that. I think if there's not laws in place to stop these protests, then our government should pass such legislation to stop support of terrorism.
Thank you for that. I mean, there supposedly is. It's not enforced. The encampment on the U of T is on private property, so the U of T can decide how to be spineless and not handle it. These types of protests, I have to say, are going on all over North America. A lot of these kids are naive kids who have no idea about the situation and are just blindly parroting Hamas and other propaganda from terrorists. And I would suggest to these kids, why don't you actually study? And I'm thinking about studying because I am looking across the glass at my university roommate. We studied Middle Eastern studies together. I'm so happy to see her. She just landed from Europe. And, you know, we studied really hard. So our opinions come with some kind of information. behind them. I remember us sitting with dictionaries that weighed just about as much as we did to translate like one page of 17th century Arabic. I don't know, maybe that's too much information. But yeah, the ignorance, and you can tell these kids anything and they'll just spit it back to you without any kind of critical thinking. So I am not impressed. Anyway, thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Brian in Mimico. Hi, Brian.
Hi. You know, after October 7th, I kind of looked at it and said, what's the point here with Hamas? What's the objective? What could they possibly hope to gain by it? They had to know Israel because of the brutal attacks they did, had no choice but to go in, and basically, the way they operate, they're hiding everywhere, have to flatten everything almost, and I guess they figure, well, that will be the way the world will see it and the world opinion, and everybody will go against it. We'll get all this stuff that's going on now with all these demonstrations and everything else. I think that was done on purpose, and that was the whole idea, because they couldn't possibly defeat Israel. The best thing they can do is make friends and try to, you know, have Israel help them, but they stubbornly don't want to do that. And I think this is what the objective was, to get all these demonstrations going on now. Now the world's going to help rebuild the whole place again. And, you know, I think that was just the whole point of it, because I can't see anything else that made any sense in doing that brutal attack.
Thanks.
They had to know what was going to happen.
Thanks, Brian. Well, I have to say that their propaganda has been quite successful. There's no question about that. Hamas's objective in their charter is to eradicate Israel. It's clear. It's written down. If you want to read the original, it will be in there. That is what they want. And a lot of the things that some of these kids are parroting, well, that's what it means. So, the whole situation is terrible. There is, I think, a glimmer of hope, because it looks like there may be a deal. And by the way, the last few proposals of deals to release the hostages and have a ceasefire of some duration have been turned down by Hamas and not by Israel. There's a lot of pressure from the Americans, I think also from the Qataris. So let us keep our fingers crossed. On the other hand, we just learned that yet another hostage has died in Gaza, has been killed. And the number of hostages purportedly being released, if there is a deal, is small. So I'm looking at the clock. It's time for our second break. There are a lot of other topics to discuss. We've got that wrong way crash. We've got FIFA. Well, we got some money from the federal government, but we're still on the hook for a lot. Is that a good thing? Are you looking forward to those soccer games? We've got the boycott of Loblaw. Are you boycotting Loblaw? What do you think of Galen Weston wading in and saying, oh my goodness, it's unfair. We are being, you know, I wouldn't say targeted, but we are being unfairly called out. And there are a lot of other stories, including the decriminalization issue, which was big in Ottawa this week. So all of that, the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-744-740, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt. Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. Oh, so much to talk about today. We've got the news this morning that the federal government is finally kicking in some money for those soccer games, the FIFA games, where the costs keep rising. Toronto's still on the hook for over $200 million. We've got more info on that horrible wrong way crash following a police chase after a liquor store robbery, apparently an armed robbery, but I'm told that shouldn't make a difference. They're not supposed to pursue those chases if there's a good chance that people will get hurt. And I think that was pretty clear from the beginning. And of course, we have grocery prices and we have the boycott of Loblaw, which is supposed to last the entire month of May. We had the chairman of Loblaw, Galen Weston, the pitch man. He's weighing in saying that the criticism of his company is unfair. So let's go to Kirk in Brantford. Hi, Kirk.
How you doing today?
Fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, the price of doing business, we chose a place to take our business to, and then they want to charge you to send a bill. But for food prices, it seems to me the last 10 to 12 years that when gas goes up, so does your food price, because they don't want to pay for any. It's called the price of doing business, and they don't want to pay for that anymore. And service fees come into this play also, where everything's going up, just like Johnny McLeod said with the Young Pioneers. You played the song, the price is rising.
Well, I mean, transportation, the cost of fuel definitely plays into the cost of food prices. Though we are heading into the summer when we'll finally be getting some nice local produce, where that should be a smaller cost.
Yeah, but the gas shouldn't, it's called the price of doing business anymore. That none of these businesses in the last 20 to 30 years seem to want to take the hit. They just, everything just gets passed on to us. Everything.
That's true. What are you finding at the grocery store? Are the bills larger and larger?
Well, I moved so I could just walk, and if it wasn't for No Frills and Freshco, I couldn't live. I'd be paying, generally speaking, probably 45% more.
Really? And No Frills, of course, is owned by Loblaw. What do you think of this boycott?
I would like to see that apply to all kinds of businesses where it just goes around. That would be nice. How would you like it as a business to have no one come and see you for a month? And someone just, it'd be hard to spearhead this kind of thing. We need Oppenheimer.
Well, or you need a good subreddit group. I'm not sure that it is actually affecting the number of people that shop at Loblaw banners, but certainly it had an impact on the publicity. And as I said, I opened a flyer or something from them, and I thought, they may have put some of these prices down. So the publicity this week has not been very good.
A year from now, what are we going to say then? I mean, that's what I'm scared of.
Okay, well, Kirk, thank you very much for your call. And I am going to give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. We can talk about what you want to talk about, because today is Free for All Friday. And let's hear from Tony in Maple. Hi, Tony.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
A very different topic of everybody's been talking about today. I want to ask you, or I want to comment on charitable donations. As you know, everybody, Heart Society, Diabetes, Cancer Society, they're all asking for money. To the working class, donate $5, $10, $20, whatever. And I commend those people that do dinner parties for try to raise money for the Cancer Society or other good causes. But I always say that, it surprises me that I don't hear anything being advertised from, there's over 500 multi-billionaires around the world with only one donation of each of $1 billion could solve all the problems.
Well, there are some billionaires who actually give a lot of their money away. I'm thinking of Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. There are these challenges. But, we could use a billionaire to solve our problems here in Canada. But I understand if you feel like I feel that I get too many solicitations because I have some charities that I support. I usually make the donation once a year. I usually make fairly large donations. But, I keep getting, and it's expensive, the direct mail. They keep sending them and keep sending them and keep sending them. And it does get to be a little bit much. Do you feel that, Tony?
Yes, it is. It has been for me for a long time. And finally, a friend of mine told me how to get rid of them. You want to hear?
Sure. Quick, though.
Oh, yeah. You know, they always put an envelope with a pre-stamped envelope to send your money in.
Uh-huh.
Most of them. Anyway, collect all the papers and some other junk mail, put it in an envelope, and mail it back.
Okay. I don't know if that's necessary. Presumably, it's people you've supported in the past, and they're doing good work. But, Tony, thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Annie in Toronto. Hello, Annie.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is with respect to the rising prices, in particular Loblaw. We have multiple different storefronts. Like, we have Superstore, we have No Frills, we have Loblaw. What I don't understand is if they can sell a price of a product at another one of their stores for much less, why do they have to increase the price to different stores? You can go to No Frills and buy the exact same thing for so much less than you will at Loblaw. The fact that I have to make multiple trips to multiple stores to buy different items, to me, is hurting your loyal customers. If you can sell it at a certain cost, sell it across your brands.
That's a good point. But I guess the point of having all those brands is having all those different prices. And here's one of... I do not like to shop at Loblaw. I'm just going to say I've said it before. And I do shop there. They often have good sales on paper products and things. Otherwise, I send my husband if we have to do something at Loblaw because he gets tired of me whining about it. But at the one that we shop at, you know, there are not prices on probably half the items. And maybe if they had a day where they say, if there's no price on it, it's free, because it's very hard to find a worker on the ground close by. And if you find them, they won't have a scanner on them. But a lot of these things, and I'm just wondering, well, is the idea that if you have to ask how much it costs, you can't afford it? But they really do a terrible job with actually putting the prices. So
I agree. There's multiple times the prices are not even correct. And when you raise it, and they get upset. So, and they have a policy, if the price scans higher than what is published on their stickers, you get it for free up to $10. So, FYI.
If it's higher or lower?
If you scan higher than what is published on their ticket price, then the item becomes free up to $10.
Okay, well, yeah, but the other thing is, so I think this happened the last time. So there was one price on the item, and I actually happened to notice it was a higher price at the cash. But what am I going to do? Go all the way back? There was a huge lineup of people behind me. I did say, okay, take that off. But, they don't make it easy. Let's just say that.
You're absolutely right. Hopefully they'll be hearing us. And they'll be learning from all their customers, because at the end of the day, listening to the customers is the best way to excel.
You're an optimist. I like that. Thank you, Annie, for your call. Okay, let's go to Dino in North York. Hi, Dino.
Hi, Libby. How you doing?
Fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. All right. So Mayor Chow was on your station recently, very recently.
Yes, she was on with Sam and Jane.
Correct. So she said a couple of things that stood out in many people's minds, including myself. So she wants to make a difference in people's lives, in Torontonians' lives, and she feels that Torontonians' hardship. So my question is, how can she say that when we went through a pandemic, inflation, property tax going 9.5% increase, gas and grocery prices out of control, interest rates very high. So how can she say that? But yet she wants to change a 1,000 garbage cans because her coffee cup doesn't go through the hole.
Wait a minute. I think those garbage cans, I mean, I remember. Okay, so first of all, they're a health hazard. We all remember, if we're old enough, we remember a time when the streets were clean. And the streets were clean because there were lots of garbage bins. Now people often just throw things down. And part of it, when you see those bins that are separated to recycling and garbage, and we've heard from city councilors, the recycling, it's a joke. It doesn't happen. They were filthy, overflowing, and the previous mayor said, oh, we can't do anything about it because we have a contract, whatever, and we're not the subcontractor or whatever it is. So if Olivia Chow finally got around that, it's maybe a small thing, but I think it's really good. We need new bins. And, you know, if I pass by them, I wouldn't like want to go anywhere near it. It's disgusting. You can get a disease.
I agree with you. Just that maybe the way she worded it, that the coffee cup doesn't fit in the hole. Well, buy a smaller coffee.
Buy a smaller coffee. Well, that's what a lot of people put in there, their coffee cups.
Yeah, you're right. But that's all basically I have to say. So I don't know how she could make, with all those things that we've been going through, how can she make a difference in people's lives? And how can she feel the hardship? That's all I want to say.
Okay. Thank you for that. You know what? Sometimes small things do make a difference. And I guess she's doing what she can, because just seeing some of those disgusting bins is enough to make you gag a bit. So that's a good thing. And I don't think we should criticize her for the good things, though there are plenty of bad things to criticize about. I mean, honestly, some of the traffic. Yesterday, I was on DuPont at rush hour, and they were doing a ton of construction on a condo, and the backups were unbelievable. And I'm thinking, why are they doing this particular bit of the work with lots of huge equipments at rush hour? I mean, it was ridiculous. And then you wonder why people get angry and why we have a lot of the problems we do on the roads, because people are so frustrated. But honestly, seriously, why are they doing that work? And I talked to Councillor Paula Fletcher. Well, they have right of way and they aren't being charged enough to close lanes of the street. But the traffic is completely out of control. And frankly, this weekend, not going to be a lot of fun either. Let me give the numbers out again, because we do have just a few minutes left in the show. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. So we have a marathon this weekend, so there's going to be a lot of traffic closures. And I think, no, is it Mother's Day? Maybe next week is Mother's Day, but we have a lot of closures this weekend. In addition to whatever maintenance closures there are, it's going to be very difficult to get around the city this weekend. So they keep saying, take public transit. That's not always a great option. Let us take a call from Jesse in Peterborough. Hello, Jesse.
Hi. I'm in Scarborough.
Oh.
But that's okay.
Oh, it says Scar. Okay. They changed it to Scarborough. Okay. Jesse in Scarborough.
Hi. You know what? I was listening to the comments about Loblaws. I just wanted to kind of put out there, they had a sale. Like I do the no frills. I do, you know, I'm a bargain shopper. I look through my little flyers on Flip and all this stuff. And so I have to, you know, I'm careful, cautious with my money, but I did have an experience in Loblaws last week. And, you know what? It was, with all that's going on, I was kind of leery about going in there, but my experience was actually pretty good. I could only buy what was on special. I could only buy what was marked down on sale, but at least they marked 50% off, as most stores sometimes just mark 30% off items.
Well, they had tried to just take 30%, and there was such a backlash that they put it back to 50%, and those are things that are going to be past their best before. But sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. I think you sound like you're in a fishbowl underwater. I'm kind of losing you, and maybe I did. Hello?
Okay. Well, maybe the fishbowl is on your end. Who knows? It's technology. So you had a good experience. We hear that. Jesse, thanks for your call. We're getting close to the end, but there is time. Let's talk to Dave in Thorold. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon. One simple comment. It seems to me that around the mid-70s, under Pierre Elliott Trudeau, a law was passed that if there's no prices indicated, then the price is free. And I've used that in the past. And I have to tell you, Food Basics honored it. And I had milk, even some meat in one particular instance. And I asked why they allowed this. He said it's cheaper to lose a little bit now and then than to pay the money to put the prices up, because labor is so expensive.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what that law is. Dave, good on you for getting that discount. I'm not sure if we all can. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, and we are plumb out of time. That's it for Fight Back for today and for this week. I'll be back here on Monday, and we'll talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.